two Bulgarians acting like they didn't just come in together. They're with you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 35 of Remote Control here on the Geekcast Radio Network, our TV podcast that handles stuff from the year 2000 to whenever now is. Join myself, TFG1 Mike, and DJ Valentine for another week of Starz's new series starring J.K. Simmons' counterpart. Now on with the show. Hello and welcome to episode 35 of Remote Control. We are continuing our counterpart 10-episode run here on Remote Control, talking the new Starz series counterpart. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me, as always, in this mini-series here is DJ V from Simplistic Reviews. Yay!
It's me. It's me. It's DJ V.
Yes, that's right.
I'm trying to be me.
Yes. Do or do not. There is no
do
try.
There is no try.
That's right.
Yoda watches from a distance, that's shaking his head disapprovingly.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh boy, counterpart. Wow.
this show was like just. Your senses. It feels like every time I watch this show, it's almost like I'm doing homework, but not in a bad way. It's like, now we got to deal with these other people, and now we got to make sure I'm paying attention to this scene because they're having a conversation about some secret coded language, and there's an interrogation over here. Oh, there goes my boy Richard Schiff, who I love, Toby Ziegler from West Wing. It's a whole bunch of stuff coming at you at once. I like it.
Yeah, it's a whole bunch of stuff. What I'm noticing is that they've really calmed down on the action side and they're building up the drama and suspense side now that we're 3 episodes in.
Right.
Like, okay, the first episode, fairly explosive. I mean, you know, kind of was. Second episode, he had his nice, you know, other JK, other Howard had
his John Wick moment.
Yeah. You know, with the guns in the car and things like that. But like this episode,
well, it's kind of like the little Muhammad Ali rope-a-dope where you're thinking, okay, this episode's all political intrigue. And essentially, it is.
It is, yeah.
But then there's the usual suspects kind of carjacking scene near the end. It comes out of nowhere, and you're kind of lulled into a false sense of security where, oh, there's not going to be any action. And then which makes every action scene that happens in the show like that much more intense because you're just like, I don't know, what are they going to light the car on fire? How are they going to get out of this situation?
Yeah, I thought this one was really interesting. I thought it was, you know, slightly more. It gave us slightly more on the two worlds, but more so how adversarial they are against each other. Like, I mean, neither people on neither side care for the other side of, like. But I can't tell, like, who came first or what. That's the thing with this episode.
Well, they came together. That's what's cool about this show is that they are the same, and then something split them. So nobody came first. They're equals essentially. Mm-hmm. And the thing that really got me, I don't know, because I'm maybe a nerd about this. And again, I have been watching The West Wing on my casual days off. Every time I see Richard Schiff, Toby Ziegler, any scene where he's in a negotiation, which is essentially 90% of The West Wing, is awesome. So now you're getting this Toby Ziegler essentially in a scene in a supernatural or sci-fi negotiation. And I'm like, wait, they want to know where the oil deposits are and they want to know the census. I don't know what the hell that's about. Yeah. It's so interesting. Like, I just want to know more.
Yeah, the thought process and all this.
I got the oil deposits because I think one side of the earth figured out where they're got money off of where these rich oil deposits are on their Mariana trenches, he says. Mm-hmm. But this Earth, I guess the good Earth, the Richard Schiff Earth, doesn't know where that is. So if that's kind of a cool negotiating thing, because once they split, certain discoveries and innovations happen on one side and not the other, and they negotiate them. That's the thought that was just really interesting.
Yeah, it was. It really, really was. And it seemed like there was less JK in this episode.
I mean, he's there. Well, yeah, bad JK's there. This is more about Peter Quayle in the which I thought they said Quill the first time. I was like, what?
Yeah, Peter Quill? No, it's not Star-Lord.
Yeah, it's like Star-Lord's in there. But it's more about Peter Quill and his relationship with his father-in-law. JK is there, and he gets the kind of the revelation of from his the bad JK, bad Howard gets the revelation about Mr. Pope. But yeah, you're right. But the little that he is there is very important to the final scene, because good Howard kind of, through just pure goodness, saves his own life. Because if he was just a dick to that girl, I always forget what the Baldwin. If he was a dick to her, they would have all died. She wouldn't have said anything, and they would have just murdered everybody in the car. But because he was nice to her, or at least, you know, not a son of a bitch, she kind of gives him the heads up not to, you know, be all cutthroat and bloodthirsty.
Yeah, I mean, and again, what last week's episode showed, and this week's the one we're talking about tonight showed, is that she, even with her other, they have more personality than most people in the show. Like, they're not just, like, Baldwin is not just a cold-hearted bitch. Like you said, if it was the other Howard approaching her, maybe that would have been the case. But because it was good Howard, and, you know, she specifically said, I'm only going to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just one of those things where it's like, oh, okay then.
Good Howard has a purpose. He's not just there to make bad Howard look better. He kind of does get things done in a different way than you're expecting. That's one of the things that you could, like, you know, fall into a trap when you have a show with doubles or something like that, where you don't give a shit about the good version of the guy. You just like the bad version. And don't get me wrong, I love Bad Howard. He's awesome. Everything he says is awesome. He commands every room he's in. I don't trust you. I definitely don't trust you. We've already been over that. Like, everything he does is great. But Good Howard in this show is actually just as, or if not more so, interesting than Bad Howard, which you got to skate that line to where you don't want to go to Good Howard and be like, man. but I never feel that way anyway.
And I remember in the, I think it was our first episode we did, I had said, or that might have been the second one, I forget. I'd like to know how, like, okay, sure, Good Howard's Emily got hit by a car. Okay, car accidents happen all the time. People get
right.
But, like, my thinking is, there's a purpose behind this. There's something behind this. There's this, there's that.
Who do you think, I know your wheels are already spinning. Who do you think hit her with the car? I know you made a guess. I know when you saw that scene, you were like,
because, I don't know. Like, starting the episode, I'm like, why is Emily's name on the screen? Oh, Emily, 6 weeks ago or whatever. Like, wow. Like, really, this is good. This quote unquote good, because we don't know at this point. But this is essentially good. This is how Emily got hit in the. I'm like, oh, damn. Alrighty then. I gotta think that there's the securities guy. It's gotta be. It's the blacklist.
Really?
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, I can't. Really, I got this show.
I always go for the worst case scenario, and I'm thinking Bad Howard.
Bad here. Howard.
Because I'm like, what? It seems like he's perpetrating all this. Well. My theory was kind of thrown into the dirt when with the Pope revelation that, you know, Pope is kind of manipulating situations. But if I didn't get that information, it seems like this whole thing has been manipulated by Bad Howard until that point, until I saw her say, well, this is the action code. Because I'm like, why would she get hit by a car? Somebody had an intention to do this. And it seems like that incident is part, or maybe the spark of this whole situation that we're going through right now.
Absolutely, yeah. And the thing of it is we get to the point of the episode later when, you know, Bad Howard's like, oh, can you go to the church and make sure, or is it, yeah, it's Bad Howard.
Yeah.
Can you make sure you light a candle for my wife or whatever? And I'm like, really? Seriously? You want her to go to the, okay. She goes to the church and she finds this letter supposedly from Emily.
Right.
Which I assume is the other. See, that's the thing. Like, I'm not sure. Because Bad Howard was like, oh, you need to do this in case I'm not back in time. In case I'm, you know. Because I thought she was his Emily. Like, regular Howard's Emily's in the hospital.
Right.
I thought other Emily, what, like, that's what, and I'm like, so how is regular Emily fitting into this? Like, oh,
there's unless she knew more, maybe she was an operative. We don't know anything about regular Emily.
Yeah, like that's why that's said the episode part. Starting with Emily Silk 6 weeks ago. I'm like, wait, what? Oh, car. Game on for Emily.
And the funny thing is, we talked about, I don't know if it was the first or second episode, where we were like, oh, there's probably going to be an episode where Bad Howard has to pretend to be Good Howard and Good Howard has to pretend to be Bad Howard. Mm-hmm. I just didn't think it would come so early where they're already setting that up where he's going to be like, well, we'll just send Good Howard over to my whatchamacallit and, mm-hmm. and pretend to be me. I'm like, I don't know if it's only been what? I guess it seems like it's been like 3 days, maybe?
Yeah, maybe in the show, the show's timeline, not the timeline of when Starz releases the episodes, but in the show's timeline, time is like fucked. It really is, because like Bad Howard got his visa bumped up to 36 hours and they did all of that stuff in the second episode was supposedly within a day and a half. And mm-hmm. now you've got him being cut down to getting revoked visa and only having 6 hours or what? And I'm like, what the hell? Like, the aspect of time in this show hurts my head about as much as an algebra problem does. Like,
told you, it's homework. Wow. The show is like so much homework going on where you're just like, I got to pay attention to this. Oh, and a little cool aesthetic thing. I don't know if this was on purpose or just a lucky accident. Mm-hmm. When during that negotiation between Richard Schiff's character, Peter Quill's father-in-law, mm-hmm. and the ambassador from the, I guess, Bad Howard's Earth, if you look on the roof, it looks like the go pieces that they show in the beginning of the mm-hmm. the show, which essentially go is kind of the theme of the show is the taking over of territory. I thought that was either very, very ingenious by the set decorator or whoever decided to pick that set or whatever, or is this just a happy accident? Because as soon as I saw, I was like, wait, those look like the little circles that they move around in every episode. There's a lot of cool, like, under the layer things going on with this show.
Yeah, very much so it is. And it's one of those things where you've got all these cool undertones and then you've got the mystery surrounding everybody. It's not just Good or Bad Howard. It's not just Good or other Emily. It's
Pope. It's Quail. It's Schiff.
It's everybody.
This is the first time I've ever seen Richard Schiff like, at first, I'm like, oh, wow, he's kind of like a jolly person. Because most of the time I've ever seen that actor do something, he's not jolly. And then you realize, oh, no, he's he's actually very cunning. And he's the Schiff that I've always grown up to love. But, yeah, there's stuff going on with him. Blacklist guy. We keep calling him Blacklist guy. He has some stuff going on. Everybody has some stuff going on. Baldwin definitely has stuff going on with her, I guess, lover. I thought it was
either that or it was a handler or it was
right,
like they're in league together obviously because hello they shot like, oh, that's the action scene of the episode is when they shot up the van. I'm like, damn.
I mean, and I think the first episode, No, second episode when she's like changing in front of her.
Yeah.
She kind of like gets uncomfortable, so I thought there was some kind of sexual tension going on there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she seems to be giving her. Baldwin doesn't seem like she's in charge. This girl does seem like she's the other one. I forget her name. I don't think they've said it.
I don't think they've said it either.
She seems like she's in more like higher on the food chain, but she gives Baldwin more leeway because it seems like she likes her. That's why this kind of, I mean, especially with what happened at the end of this episode where she stops her from killing everybody in the van and she kind of gets mad at her about it. But she, I mean, if she really had a problem with it, she would have just shot everybody in the van and told her to go F herself, but she didn't.
Yeah,
because I think she has feelings for her.
Yeah, I think she does too. And the, that's a whole other angle of this show that is yet to be explored, and I'm sure it will. Obviously, because they're not just going to leave that hanging, because they broke her. I mean, essentially what they did in that scene is, you know, leave out, you know, all of the mutant aspects of it, but it's like the Magneto breakout in X-Men.
Or the Owen Davian breakout in Mission Impossible 3.
There's
a whole bunch of stuff going on there.
Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who don't know, I am talking to the black Owen Davian right here.
Good old Owen Davian, the greatest villain in Mission Impossible. Well, you know what? I might have to take that back. I love Owen Davian, but the new guy is pretty good. The new guy who's now in Fallout or whatever. Yeah, yep. Though he sucked in Prometheus, but he's really good in these two.
Yeah.
We digress.
Yes, we digress a lot. The ending of this one, I'm like, okay, who is it? Why are you just showing us the bootied covered shoes of whoever the hell, like, wow, she's dead. Like, damn. So now we've got one Emily in the hospital. We've got one that's dead, and it's like, holy crap.
Yeah, I don't know what the end game is here, and that's what makes me excited, because it's like and now when this happening, because there's two Earths and duplicates of everybody, nobody is safe. As we kind of got from the second episode when good Baldwin gets murdered. But have we seen good Baldwin's body yet? They said that she was dead, but she got shot in the shoulder. Have we seen her body?
No, we haven't seen it yet, I don't think.
For some reason, I thought she was. I was like, maybe she could. When I saw that first scene when she got shot in the shoulder. I'm like, maybe she's okay, because they just told her, oh, she's dead. So maybe they didn't kill her. I don't know.
About Nadia, I think she did die because of the wound that she suffered, because she and Baldwin were out like in the backstage area after the shot or whatever or something.
It was just, if they're going to kill her, why not shoot her in the head? This is the way they shot, the way she got, took that bullet, it seemed like it was, it wasn't center mass, it was to the side, and then they, later, we don't know what happened, and then Blacklist guy comes in, and, oh, she died. Yeah. It seems like, don't be surprised if she shows back up again. I just want proof of death. I need proof of death.
Yeah, forget about proof of life, folks. We need about proof of death on this
proof
show.
Proof of death. I need to see.
Anybody can come back.
I need to see people dead.
What's going to be interesting is if Blacklist security guy has his own other, see what the
oh god,
the, Jesus, see what the differences he's probably are
like a,
there.
He's probably like a florist or something, because the one that's on the Good Howard side is such a gruff, you know, I won't even say no nonsense. He just has like zero gives a fucks. He doesn't care about anything. So. Yeah.
Nope, not at all. What else about this episode did you like?
I it's Richard Schiff, man. When I heard Richard Schiff was coming on, I was like, oh yes. And I saw his name in the credits. I was like, it seems like his name's in the credits because he's not going to be like a one and doneer. He's going to be like around, and I hope so, because I mean, that guy's awesome. And he just brings a lot of gravitas, and I think the dynamic between him and the Quail, Peter Quail, I liked it. I like it. I want to know more about it, because apparently Quail's banging hookers on the side. Unless that was his daughter. I'm presuming that was a hooker.
No, I'm pretty sure that was a hooker. Oh.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you finish or not. It's still the same price. I'm like, damn. All right.
Well, yeah, the dynamic going on between them where it's like almost like Schiff has him wrapped around his finger where he can like manipulate him more. That British guy, Peter, he interests me. I mean, of all the other characters that aren't J.K. Simmons and Emily, I think his is the storyline that we're going to be kind of following, almost like his deconstruction. Because when we first see him, he seems like he's kind of in charge. He's kind of a charming British fake Tom Hiddleston type of character. And now we're getting more depth to him where it's like he's got so much pressure and he's got this father thing and he's not as high on the food chain as he thought he was or we thought he was. So yeah, I really like that whole dynamic. I want more of that.
Yeah, I do too. And I have to say this because it seems like last episode every other word out of our mouth was, oh my god, J.K. Simmons. But like this episode, I need more. Like, it doesn't matter which one. I don't care. Hell, both of them. Like, send them both on more missions. Like, I don't know.
It's quality, not quantity. Quality, not quantity. The scenes that JK's in are still top-notch. It's okay.
But, like, even, like, Bad Howard, he only had, like, one or two badass lines this episode. I'm like, come on! It's J.K. Simmons. How can you not, like... I get it. There wasn't really a situation for him to say shut the fuck up or whatever.
He kind of does say shut the fuck up. To the I'm not talking in front of this guy.
Yeah, I don't know
who the fuck this guy is.
Yeah.
It's okay. We have seven more episodes of JK being, but I guarantee you we're going to get a lot of I want to say unintentional humor with good Howard playing bad Howard. I'm just waiting to see how that plays out. Though I don't think there's been enough time, as we were talking about the time thing, has passed to where he can properly do bad Howard. I mean, other than saying, okay, I'm just going to be a dickhead, but it's just that there's a lot of stuff that bad Howard does that good Howard,
would never do.
I mean, just him punching that guy last week was just so out of care. Like, whoa, what, you know, it didn't feel like he would have made that leap that quick in literally like 24 hours. So.
Yeah, see, the thing with Howard, both of the versions of him, is that bad Howard can adapt to anything. Good Howard hates change. Good Howard's kind of like me, just absolutely hates change. He prefers his situations very, very linear, you know, point A, point B, point C, point whatever. And bad Howard can just kind of quite literally roll with the punches and act however he wants, whether, you know... There was that one little thing where he missed and didn't stop by the nurse's station, but, you know, I mean, other than that, you know, anyone in that hospital coming into that room to see Emily or whatever, and he was there, well, besides her brother. Thank God we haven't seen him.
He scared him out of the show.
Yeah, let's hope, because, wow, that guy. Yeah. But yeah, bad Howard very easily can manipulate to be good Howard. Good Howard, I think it's going to be a chore to try to be bad Howard. And he even specifically said last episode, you know, don't try to make me into you or something like that. Yeah, so like...
I think he's going to be put in a situation where he might have to meet Pope or he might have to use a gun or kill... That's where it's going to get a little hairy. Because again, I don't think enough time has... He hasn't been on enough adventures or experiences with Bad Howard to make that leap. I don't think. Maybe J.K. can convince me of it. Maybe they won't, you know, they won't do it right away. They won't make him. Won't put him in a drastic situation like that. But I that's the only thing that worries me about the next episode is how if Good Howard is going to be able to do that, or maybe they're going to wait a couple more episodes before that happens.
Yeah, I'm not even really sure. I hope it's like I need more information about some other things before we have good Howard pretending to be bad Howard, honestly.
Right.
And the title of the episode for episode 3, The Lost Art of Diplomacy. The first thing I thought of was, Diplomatic immunity.
Diplomatic immunity. I'm like, damn. This show is all about diplomatic immunity, essentially. A lot of the people coming from other different versions of Earth, you know, the carte blanche, especially this douchebag ambassador guy who's... Who is essentially this, you know, look up douchebag in the dictionary, and he's got a picture of that guy. And it takes a lot to out douchebag Peter Quayle, because I thought he was like the douchebag, the totem of that. But this guy is just like, right away I'm like, I don't like you. I don't like anything about you. Maybe because I'm looking at it through the eyes of Bad Howard, but yeah, it's something, you need to go.
Yeah, something really needs to go with that one. Looking at the 10 episodes, Wikipedia finally has all the names for the episodes here. Next time, or actually we're recording this on the night that the fourth episode is supposed to air. Both Sides Now is the fourth episode. Fifth episode is Shaking the Tree, and then the sixth episode is Act Like You've Been Here Before. So I'm assuming / hoping / wondering / whatever... Maybe episode 6 is where Good Howard has to act like Bad Howard.
Yeah, act like you've been there before. That sounds right. That sounds good.
And that's not too bad. Between the second episode where he said, "Don't make me be like you," or "Don't turn me into you," versus this third episode and whatever's going to happen in the fourth and fifth, like, that's not bad. Four episodes between something that was said about it and then they actually do it. Like,
do a time jump, damn it. Not like a year, like maybe like a week or something. Just give me some more time, or at least put him in a different situation, because most of the time, Good Howard's just in fear for his life most of these episodes.
Yeah. Or he doesn't know exactly when to jump into the situation. So...
He's been in situations inside of a car twice that have almost cost him his life, and a car hit his wife. So cars are bad for Good Howard.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know. What's gonna happen? Mater's gonna come in and tow the car away. I don't think so.
Don't name drop Cars 1 or 2 or 3.
Hey! You watch your tongue. Cars 3 was amazing.
Oh man! Army Hammer was okay. He was the one that got me through it.
That's a discussion for another day. Remote Controls. Counterpart coverage will continue, as always, for the next, you know, like I said, 7 weeks or so. Episode 3, I really dug it. I just need more. It's not like anything I didn't like about it, but I need to know more. I need to see
more. You're greedy like
me.
You're greedy. Yes. You're greedy like me. Yes.
So
yes.
Give us the information.
Good.
Yes. Excellent. You know, it's like, Monty Burns over here.
We will. It's maybe because I'm a big fan of Westerns. It's stuff like this where it's built upon anticipation of something. I can dig it. Because I know they're going to have a payoff here. And it's so many chess pieces moving around. You're just like, how is this all going to come to a head? And I can only imagine it's going to be something crazy. Especially when we find out who hit her with the car, which I think was Bad Howard. But this is me. I'm just throwing out a dart.
I mean, I could see that. I see, that's the only thing, though, is I don't know why that would happen. Like, if we were going to get a reveal that it was Bad Howard that hit her with the car and she's in the hospital, like, to me, he would have to go back to that side and, like say Emily finally wakes up or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He would have to go back there dressed as her husband. You know, dressed as Good Howard or whatever, and he just goes up to her and whispers in her ear, "Yeah, I hit you with the car. It was me." Like, it's some weird.
Or Emily wakes up and is like, "You hit me with to Good Howard. Get away from me. You tried to kill me," or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. reminds me of what movie was it? There's a movie somewhere where a kid or a TV show or No, I know what it is. I know exactly what movie it is. Ransom. When they asked the kid about who it was that kidnapped him or whatever else, and
he pees his leg.
Yeah, he pees his leg. Yeah, exactly. Gary Sinise. It's gonna be one of those.
She's gonna see Good Howard and starts pissing herself because she's like, "Oh my god, you hit me with a car."
Yeah, pretty much. Absolutely.
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
So yeah, join us next week, folks, for episode 4 of Counterpart. Hope everyone is enjoying the coverage so far. After this 10-week venture, we will have other things coming up here in Remote Control, other TV shows, other networks, all that good stuff. Where can the people find you online, sir?
Trying to be DJV is my Twitter handle. The show I'm on, Simplistic Reviews, our Twitter handle is Simple Tweeters, and you can find our podcast. Just search Simplistic Reviews on iTunes, YouTube, everywhere.
Cool. I'm at TFU and Mike on Twitter. You can follow at Geekcast Radio for all the other network updates. You can subscribe to Remote Control on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, all that good stuff. We're kind of everywhere. And keep on channel surfing, folks, and we will catch you next week here for Counterpart Season 4. Season 4, shit.
Episode 4.
Fuck. Counterpart Season 1, Episode 4.
Give me back my son! Oh, that's a movie. Sorry. That's Rance.
That was a really, really bad male impression.
Give me back my son! Is that better? You want me to
go? No. Sounds like Owen Davian choked on a walnut.
Yeah, it's more like give me back my son. I don't want to tell you. You're my son. You're my daughter. I don't know what's going on.
I'm going to find you and I'm going to kill you.
I'm going to find my daughter. I'm going to find my son and then I'm going to hurt her. I'm going to hurt him. I'm going to hurt
him. Oh, God. We'll catch you next week here on Remote Control's Counterpart coverage, everybody.